What's up? It's the Brunch Breakdown. DD out here in Los Angeles. Chris and Dan are in Pittsburgh. Today on the show, it is Sports Brunch. So we are giving you our hottest sports takes. We got Starch Madness, which is a potato appetizer bracket. I cannot wait to get into this. Shohei Ohtani is in some trouble, or his translator's in some trouble, or both of them are in some trouble. Anyways, we're going to talk about that, and we got a nice question for that. We got music. We got more. It's the Brunch Breakdown. Boys, Dan, let everybody know where they can find us.
Happy to. Everywhere. Podcasts. When they're there, we're there. Brunch Breakdown. Everywhere podcasts are available, people. New episodes coming your way each and every Wednesday. Just making sure you're hitting follow and subscribe to whatever channel method you like, and then the episode comes right to you. It's that easy. We appreciate you listening each and every week and your support, and appreciate you leaving us a review if you could do that as well. We have full video episodes. We're talking about Starch Madness. You're going to need to see the bracket, people. We're going to break this thing down. So hop over to the videos. Those are on YouTube and Facebook and Spotify, premiering at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on demand anytime you want to watch after that. Everywhere on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, Threads, Triller, TikTok, for now, as we know. That's where you can find the Brunch Bites. Follow us there. We follow you back. And then, of course, the sounds of brunch. We give you what we're listening to each and every week. We put it to you in a nice little playlist ready for you just to dive in and listen. We keep last week's on there in case you need to catch up, where you're like, you know what? That jam that Chris threw on there is good. I want to hear it again. Well, it's going to be there for 2 weeks, plus the new stuff. Just go to Spotify and just search Sounds of Brunch. It's easy.
Beautiful. Well, this week, we usually use, you know, get it off our chest. We get random topics off our chest. But since it's Sports Brunch, it's our hottest sports take. Chris, get us started. What's your hottest sports take right now?
Well, I think I need you guys to either tell me I'm wrong about this or back me up. I could be completely off and just being an old man, but we're all kind of old men now. So I just need to know, like, are you on the same wavelength as me? Is there something I'm missing? I just don't feel like sports in general have that important feel that they used to. And I don't know exactly what it is, but like, I'm sitting around watching the NCAA tournament and seeing these games, and there's upsets and it's all really cool. And I'm like, you know, the last few years, there have been upsets. There have been Cinderella teams. And I couldn't tell you today the name or names of any players on those teams. Whereas, like, when we were younger, I could tell you all about, like, Bryce Drew and the shot he made for Valparaiso, you know, to go on their run. Like, I feel like sports in general, and I guess I'm zeroing in on March Madness, just like meant more or had more staying power back in the day. And I felt like this kind of during football season too, where, like, you know, we've gotten to a point where the sports are designed to, like, help the bad teams not be bad and bring the good teams down to size so that there's more parity, where, like, there aren't maybe as many of those Goliaths or players that just are completely unstoppable. Yes, there are some of them. But like the players or teams that you look up to that are like larger than life and unbeatable. And I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's because I'm not a kid that this stuff feels different, but I just feel like, I don't know, man. I just feel like it's not the entire sports world isn't as memorable as it used to be. Maybe it's because of like the nature of our lives now, where it's like social media, everything happens in an instant and then you react to it and you forget about it because you move on to the next thing. I don't know. Like, does it feel that way at all for you guys? Cause I just couldn't help but notice it during the first round of the NCAA tournament this year. I was just like, Duquesne winning is really cool. I will not be able to tell you a single player on that team come next year, but like, I could tell you what happened 10, 15 years ago. It just seems strange to me.
Yeah, I think particularly with March Madness, you know, college basketball has arguably always been about the coaches. But there was a time where, you know, pre-NIL, you had players sticking around 2, 3, 4 years, and you got to watch and learn how these teams come together, and there was more household names. There's no household name. You know what the two household names are? Or three, arguably? They're all in the women's tournament. They're all in the women's tournament. The three most popular college basketball players play at USC, Iowa, and UConn, arguably.
LSU.
And so LSU. Sorry, four. There's just no name staying power anymore. And it's, like I said, it's arguably always been about coaching. But even now, that's kind of started. Like, Shaka Smart, he was at VCU, then he was at Texas, now he's at Marquette. I'm like losing track of where he's going. And so I kind of feel the same way with you, man, that it's harder to be, and even in the regular season, it's hard to invest in the regular season of college basketball. Then you don't get to learn about these teams and these players, and they're just not going to be as memorable. And you're right. Current lifestyle for the three of us certainly throws additional wrenches into that to make it more difficult.
But maybe that's part of it, man. Like the movement of players, like maybe that's part of it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I could tell you all the players on the teams because they played there every year and like the coaches didn't move around like crazy. That makes sense.
See, I think it has to do with that. Like, it's men's college basketball, especially. It used to be the best under 25 or under 23-year-old players in the country. It's what it used to be. Then there would always be like a unicorn that left from high school or whatever and went. But now with, I think what they thought like one and done was going to do isn't what it was supposed to do. They thought it was going to keep players in college longer, but really all it does is just make a guy go to whatever school he can play at. It doesn't matter what school he plays at. And this has been happening before NIL. It's just like, why go to Duke when I actually have to compete with other players, when I could go to, I don't know, Texas, just be the star, score 30 points a game, and then I'm going to the NBA next year anyways. I don't even care. So it's just like, and it doesn't matter. So it was cool when Zion did it because Zion went to Duke. So it was a big fucking deal. Like, he went to Duke. But then him and RJ Barrett left after 1 year. So unless you're a humongous star that we've been watching dunk on House of Highlights since their freshman year of high school, we don't know who you are. Like, there's this kid named Cooper Flagg that's going to Duke next year. I've been watching him on House of Highlights for years. So, like, it's going to be a big deal when he is in college basketball next year, and whatever Duke does, they do. But, like, that's the problem. And, like, why the women's game is becoming so much more popular is because, like, Dan mentioned the girl at USC, Juju Watkins. We're going to get to watch her for 2 more years. Like, she might break all of Caitlin Clark's records. Like, she's already broke all these freshman scoring records and all that stuff. We get to watch her for 2 more years. Like, she has a deal with Nike, so we're going to see her on commercials for the next 2 more years. Like, it's insane. And it's like, that's what is missing. And it sucks because that's why we don't care anymore. And then on top of that, it's like, you know, back in the day, the NCAA tournament was on one channel and they just switched, which I still think is better. I still believe that is the better way. And that's another reason why these upsets don't matter because, okay, Oakland upsets Kentucky on another channel. You're watching another game on another channel. No one jumps into that game like it used to be. It used to be like, all right, Duke's playing blah, blah, blah. They're up 86-35. Let's go to Seattle where Oakland's about to upset Kentucky. And then it's like, oh shit, West Virginia's about to do this to Wake Forest. And it's like, it was so much more exciting that way. Now it's like on all these different networks and you're like, and you miss some of it. And so you end up seeing, even though you're watching basketball all day, you still sit there and watch it. You're seeing it on Twitter and you're like, what? I miss the excitement. So there's a lot of reasons why, but one of them is, but there's just a lot of reasons. There's so many reasons why it's not as important anymore.
Yeah. This all makes sense to me. And I just think like, I don't know, maybe it's a pessimist in me, but like, I feel like and this is for pro sports too, like we're creating just more casual fans and we're not creating as many diehard fans. And I feel like long term, like something has to give. Like, I feel like it's not it's not a sustainable thing long term when you have just a ton of casual fans. People just like randomly throw a few bucks on these games. They don't know any of the players. And like they're making so much money in sports now because like largely we are all part of this diehard sports fan base that came up. But like when everybody's just casual fans, like, is it as profitable? I don't know. I don't really like it. That's all. I want to go back to when like the Dallas Cowboys were absolutely terrifying in the 90s. And like UCLA basketball was always the team that you put in the Final Four because they're just always like, I don't know. I miss some of that predictability because when that was predictable, then when the upsets happen, it was way more magical than it is for like the five kids, like Didi said, that are at Duke today and then are gone tomorrow. Like it doesn't mean that much to me.
And then you have like the Gen Z generation who are like, they're becoming fans of players, not of teams. They follow players. You know what I mean? And because there's so much, change in every aspect of pro and college sports, you can just follow a player and not have to worry about rooting for their team or a team because they're going to be hopping around. And so then that creates loyalty kind of gets thrown out the window and creates this whole domino effect. So.
Well, that's why Dan's a Philadelphia Eagles fan now.
So. That's right.
The thing is, dude, dynasties are good. Big schools are good. This is good, but we decided that like that wasn't good enough. And so then now everything is completely spread out. But like we need to get back to that. That's the reason why, like when the Golden State Warriors were at their height, it was fun. It's fun to see who's going to like take down Goliath. And as big of a deal as they made that Oakland Kentucky upset this weekend, Kentucky's been bounced in the first round the last 3 years. So it doesn't matter. It's like, oh yeah, they've got the name, but no one cares anymore. Like, so I hear you, dude. It's not the same. Still fun, but just not the same.
Right.
Dan, hottest sports take. Go.
Well, to your point, Chris, going right in from that talking March Madness, March generally is no doubt, if not the greatest sports month of the year, it is up there, top sports month of the year, right? And even with no football games going on, the NFL offseason is like often more dramatic than the season itself sometimes. And like clearly the NFL wins its offseason more than any other league by far. With March Madness, you've got like the Masters picking up golf. If you're into golf, the Players Championship, the Masters coming up in April. So March is just a fantastic time. My hottest sports take right now, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. Guys, I think I'm ready for baseball. I think I'm ready for baseball. I know.
Didi looks horrified.
He does. Normally when March kind of comes to a close, you also have the NHL and the NBA getting more attention. And that's just not happening for me this year. And we, no doubt, have a history, myself included, on this podcast of discussing how boring the game of baseball can be, even with the new rule changes, right? We're all in the same boat there. And perhaps me being excited for baseball has something to do with our hometown Pirates having a lot of young talent. And even though they're not going to be competing for a pennant necessarily, they should win more games than they lose this year. And sadly, that just brings a lot of excitement to the Pittsburgh baseball fan base who, given our woes over the last 30 years, on top of the fact that our hockey team is a complete dumpster fire, and like they're in the playoff race but completely out of it, it's just really hard for me to like, what am I next looking forward to? But also I realize that baseball season for most fans, I think, unless you're a diehard, usually starts after the NBA and the NHL crown their champions in the month of June. And so late June, 4th of July, All-Star break, that's when baseball season, like, quote-unquote, starts for a lot of people, right? But for me, that's just, like, by default, and it's just kind of there, and it's just kind of on. And speaking of our hometown Pirates, by that time, they're usually out of it, and the season's not really all that exciting. So, like, I think I want to get going before it gets stale or before it gets boring. and our teams are out of it. And on top of that, maybe I'm just like ready to get back outside and sit at the nation's best ballpark voted on by USA Today and have a beer and a couple of hot dogs. So you know what? Let's go baseball. Let's go baseball. I'm ready. Baseball. I think I'm ready.
Dude, no better place for al fresco dining than baseball games.
There you
and
go.
That is the reason why I was like, oh, I saw PNC Park, number one baseball stadium. I was like, they obviously had some good food there. Like, the view is incredible. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I get it. I'm ready for baseball season two because Otani's for the Dodgers. I don't have to go to Anaheim to go see him play. And also, and if I want to go to Anaheim to see Mike Trout play, I can go see him for $4 and sit right behind home plate. Like, no one's going to care anymore. Like, it's going to be awesome. It's the one of the weirdest things in the world. Like, one of the best baseball players ever, you can go see him for $5 up the road. Like, there are players on the bench for the Lakers that are more famous than Mike Trout. Like, it's incredible. But no, I'm excited to go to baseball games too. I might even take the kids to a baseball game this year. I've thought about it because, like, it doesn't matter when you get there. It doesn't matter when you leave. You just go there and eat, and you're like, all right, we're good. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Shouts to baseball.
Shouts to baseball. Dan, I'm with you. I've been getting a little bit intrigued.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't know anything about the Pirates. Okay. But like, I've seen more than a few people say that the Pirates are a team who actually can be legitimately competitive in the division. So I'm like, hey, there's no other team in town that can say that. Maybe this might be interesting to watch. I'm still not to the point where like, I'm going to give that owner money, but like I will watch on TV. So I'm with you. And it's also, I feel like I get like this every spring training, because spring training to me, it's like, oh, the weather's going to improve soon. So like I have a happy relationship with spring training. Cause if it's a sign of better things to come. So that normally piques my interest, but now it's like, oh, that, and they're for this year, like maybe competitive. Then less, you know, those same people who say like this year they'll be competitive also say then like after that, it's probably not gonna be very good, but that's okay. We'll just go one season at a time, and maybe this one will be okay. We'll see. I don't know any. I know we have a guy named O'Neill Cruz. That's about it. Oh, and Andrew McCutchen O'Neill Cruz is still here. So
he's still here. And
go baseball.
Number one overall draft pick, Paul Skeens. If you know anything about Paul Skeens' personal life, you know that that is more than just a one person acquisition for the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. On the field, off the field, super, super win. Let's go baseball.
Go baseball.
Dude, that is the most positive baseball segment we've had in almost 4 years of doing podcast.
That is very true.
That is incredible. Where are we?
That's why it's a hot take. It's a hot take.
Oh, yeah. My God. All right. Hottest sports take for me. So I don't know if you guys saw Nick Saban in front of some body of the U.S. Congress or whatever, talking about NIL and how it needs to change. Nick Saban, shut up. Here's why. That guy's worth like over $100 million, okay? He made that all off the backs of free labor, okay? You are not the guy that we want to, and you just retired. So you're not coaching anymore. You're not the guy anybody wants to hear talk about this. You know who we want to hear from? Coaches at schools like the ones that we root for. Schools that like hope to have a shot at a big bowl game every 4 years. Those schools, because those are the ones that are having the hardest time with all of this. Because I am all for NIL, but I also think that there's a way you could scrap NIL and just pay every player on the roster, because only so many players are actually getting paid, right? So I guess my hot take is this. You need to cut these college football rosters. There's no reason for college football rosters to be like double the size of NFL rosters. What do you need those dudes for? Like, you guys have season tickets to Pitt football. You've been going to college football games your entire life. Like, there's double numbers. There's guys in sweatpants. There's invited walk-ons. There's dudes who are never going to play. They just go to practice, and I don't know what the fuck they do there. I don't know if they just get beat up. I don't know if they just sit there. I don't know if they just drink Gatorade. I don't know what they do there, but like, they are not needed anymore. So if we're going to do this and you want to get rid of NIL, that's fine. Get rid of it. But like, you can still pay. You can honestly make the roster 60 guys and just pay everyone. And that's all fine. You don't need to have rosters of 8 million people. Because one of the things that the NCAA has done that's really pissed me off, it's like they have people really thinking that all players are getting paid. Because during the bowl season, I remember seeing a tweet that was like, did the players still get like the bowl gift suites because of NIL? And I'm like, yo, the freaking the second string offensive tackle that gets the shit kicked out of him every day is not getting anything. Like, no one's knocking down his door, like, to give money for anything, right? So there's ways you can fix this. I just don't want to hear old coaches and coaches who play for, like, the top Power Five schools complaining about it. Because I'm like, you have the boosters, you have the money. Like, no one's coming in and really poaching your biggest star players. Like, it's just not happening. But it's happening for all, like, the mid-tier schools. In the smaller schools, because as soon as somebody, like, you guys saw with Jordan Addison, it was like, all of a sudden, he's great, USC, gone. And it's like, and it's anytime you get a good player, like, there's a chance they're walking out the door. Like, and it's going to happen in football more than, like, basketball, because you have, like, in basketball, you have a better chance with one guy to make a difference than you do, mm-hmm. You know, you're just going to go to the better team. So,
right.
I don't know. That was a lot, but, like, I'm annoyed with the way the NIL conversation is going, and my hot take is like, guys, there's ways to change it, but like, we got to change college football. Like, cut these damn rosters, cut them, and shut up, coaches, old coaches, get out.
I love everything you just said.
Get out.
I love it. You're right. The rosters are huge.
They're huge.
And often those guys will just sit. They'll suit up and sit on the bench for 3 years sometimes to get a shot at playing your senior year. They're enormous. And no, certainly all not getting paid. Not even on the big schools.
No.
Right? To your point, like, not even on those big schools, everybody getting paid. So, yeah, like, the schools that we root for is where the struggle. That's who we want to hear from. We don't hear from Nick Saban, Jim Boeheim, Coach K. We don't need to hear about why those guys all of a sudden, you know, the goats of the coaching tree are retiring because of NIL, and they don't want to deal with it. Not the voices that need to be heard.
Y'all are hating on a lot of Rudy's today, and that's not very nice.
Yo, and here's the thing. You know what Rudy's doing? Rudy went pro in something other than sports. Just do it faster.
Listen, I happen to find a little bit of charm in, like, real world example. There was one Pitt game where we got flagged twice for having two players on the field that were wearing the same number. You don't get that everywhere, Didi. You just don't get that everywhere, but you can in college football. There's some magic to that. Okay, yeah, real impressive that the NFL has a 53-man roster and everybody follows the rules and everybody knows the rules. Listen, man, I'm not showing up for the predictability of it. I'm showing up for a little bit of the magic, okay? And I love that.
Wow.
A walk-on from Australia who enrolled in a kicking school for rugby can be recruited to Pittsburgh and then not know what the hell he's doing when he's on the field. There's some magic in that, okay? Just let the sport be. It's the last sport that isn't regulated. Let it be. Let it be. But actually, realistically, it needs to be regulated because the shit is getting a little bit ridiculous. Okay.
Here you go. Well said, everybody.
You're so right. I agree. Everybody.
So I agree with you. Okay. Fine. Yes.
Thank you. It's time. But it's things that aren't going to happen. That's my biggest gripe with it is like, it's real. The answer is right in front of you.
Yeah.
But like, no one is going to do it because there's a possibility that somebody could lose money. So that's what it comes down to. But it was just annoying seeing Nick Saban up there who got out of it because he was annoyed at NIL, but then is in front of everyone telling how everyone, and it's like, you know, I don't know. If you're a coach who's done a Dove commercial, I don't want to hear from you.
Who's up next? Jimbo Fisher. Let's get Jimbo to complain about money. Let's do that. God, this king's paid many, many millions of dollars to sit at home.
I tried to get him on the podcast, but like, I don't think he has Wi-Fi on the island that he bought. So I don't know how.
Probably not. Not yet.
Good God. Well, those were our hottest takes. Hit us up with your hottest takes at Brunch Breakdown. All right, yeah. Let's get into Brews Day. Chris, you got anything?
No.
Damn it, Chris. Where's your non-alcoholic beer streak? What's going on?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I do have a couple non-alcoholics in the beer fridge, but as you know from last week, that we had a beer fridge fiasco, so now I have like three of them, okay? Mm. So currently, really got to pick your spots. We've not been getting much sleep over here either. So I'm not like settling down with a non-alcoholic beer right now. I am just dying in place whenever I get the chance once the kids go to sleep. So there's not a lot happening over here, boys.
Well, this week, if you guys can't tell by my voice, I did a lot of talking this week. And so this week was sponsored by, Starbucks Venti Medicine Balls. Hey. That's what I had a lot of, the honey Ooh. Mint citrus tea, or honey citrus mint tea, however the fuck you say it, whatever, all those words are in there, they're just in some different way. Yeah,
sure.
that is the go-to if you are feeling a little raspy or feeling a little sick. Go to Starbucks, order the medicine ball, and you'll be good to go. So that is what I've been rocking all week, because woof, yeah, your boy was doing a lot of talking.
Good. We need more commercials to skip over you for. I'm gonna be honest with you. When you said this week is brought to you by, I thought you are not doing this again.
Dude,
Chris knows what I'm talking about. I thought, are we gonna?
It's just funny how many things I can do it for. It's kind of really obnoxious. You know how obnoxious you are until
yeah, kind of really is, Dee. It kind of really.
You could ask us. We'll tell you.
Jesus Christ! Our entire group text is sponsored by something. It's got to stop.
Yeah, you're going to have to start at the bottom of all of your text. You're going to have to start adding a disclaimer like, to stop, text back, STOP. To unsubscribe.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start using that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to bring the soul brew to the table. Here
you
we
got
are.
Got it. Go.
If you're a follower of mine on social media, you know that I just got back from a trip to the greater Phoenix area of Arizona. Wonderful, wonderful time out there. Could do a whole segment on the awesome, awesome things that we did, the wonderful drinks that we had. But believe it or not, only one beer. It was a lot of specialty cocktails during this trip. So, but I wanted to have a local beer. I definitely wanted to have a local beer. And so we went to a place. What's the name of this place? Called Culinary Dropout. Awesome place. This was actually in Scottsdale. So DD, you're kind of familiar neck of the woods, called Culinary Dropout. And they had a beer that's a collaboration with, I think it's theirs. It's Dropout Brew Company, collaborating with Husk Brewing Company, which is in Tempe, and they call it the Lil Chuckster Hazy IPA. That's right, the Lil Chuckster Hazy IPA. And this was tasty, man. It was, I'll give you kind of the description of how they describe it. Waves of tropical fruits and citrus notes with candied pineapple, mango, and stone fruit. Lightly sweet yet smooth finish. Definitely some smooth citrusy vibes. A little bit juicy, and just that hazy, that IPA, that bitter finish, just lightly there to kind of round it all out. The Lil Chuckster, this was a delicious little local beer. Shout out to Arizona, the beer scene there, and this was a good one. Glad I had it.
That hit all my benchmarks.
Yeah,
everything,
all the keywords.
That's all the words. That's everything I need in my life is right there.
Next time you're in Scottsdale, get to a culinary dropout and have the little Chuckster. Tell them I sent you.
I love that place. I love Scottsdale so much.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we're drinking. That is Brews Day, gentlemen. Dan, only one who brought the brew. But listen, you brew tea. I brought tea. So, yeah.
All right.
I'm drinking Cheers-ish. Coffee, which is brewed.
Hey. So. Hey, what kind of coffee maker do you have, Chris?
The Ninja.
Okay. Dan, you have a...
I have a Keurig right now, and I don't love it.
Oh, right now is never good. It's when they're like, right now, I've got
right now.
Because our coffee maker recently started doing this weird leaking thing, like every third time we use it. So we've had it for like 5 years. It's time to get a new one. I was just seeing what everybody thought. We have a Ninja, but I'm trying to see what else is out there. You know, I don't want to just go buy the same coffee maker again, but I probably will end up doing that. But, you know, seeing what everybody else has got, you know, hit us up at Brunch Breakdown. What coffee maker you got? Let me know.
I'm surprised you don't have a promo code for one, Didi. Where's the commercial?
Yeah,
he's us. Are you kidding me? Chris, after this, you and I were recording a commercial and we're sending it to Didi.
Let's go. Let's go. Hell yeah. Let's go. And guess what, Didi? We don't have a discount code either. So suck it.
Yeah. The Brunch Breakdown edition of the Ninja coming your way.
Screw you guys. Really. Honestly, just screw you guys. All right. Let's get into the main menu. Starch Madness. Let's go.
Let's go.
So I was scrolling through the internet and what popped up? Stephen A. Smith going through the ultimate potato bracket. And you got to go to at Stephen A. Smith on all the social medias and find this clip of him going through this bracket, because it is honestly the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But on this bracket, it puts up matchups between a bunch of potato appetizers, breakfast foods, anything from mashed potatoes to potato skins, wedges, just waffle fries, everything. We're going to go through this bracket right now. Boys, are you ready for starch madness?
So ready for this. This is what the Brunch Breakdown is literally made for. I cannot wait to do this.
Yeah, man. That brackets... I mean, obviously, March Madness, good timing, but like we're big bracket guys all year round.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Not just March. Bring them on. Bring them on. So matchup by matchup, shall we?
Let's do it.
First matchup. Hash browns versus boiled. Gentlemen.
This is a classic versus 16. In my head, this is a classic 1 versus 16. Hash browns 100-32. I don't even know. It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, hash browns, this is a game where they would take you out of it and take you to another game.
Yeah.
100%. Right. 100%.
We're moving you along to... all right, three. That's a sweep. Hash browns. Easy there. Next one. Duchess versus waffle. Do either of you have a solid description of a Duchess potato?
I have no idea what a Duchess is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And like waffle, are we talking about like waffle fries? Like what?
No, a waffle. Just a waffle.
A potato waffle.
Yeah, it's a waffle, right?
Oh, okay.
So the Duchess is more of like, we should literally just be looking this up. It's a fancy potato, right? It's like a mashed potato with some swirlies in it. And it looks like maybe they roast it at the end, give it a little golden brown color there.
It's a mashed potato with some swirlies in it.
That's
I'm
right.
Sure that's exactly how they say it at culinary
the Duchess.
school.
it's the waffle here for me. It's got to be the waffle.
Yeah, I think I'm going to waffle.
100%.
Waffle it is. Next matchup. Roasted potatoes versus shoestring potatoes. This was a little tougher, maybe. What do you boys say?
I'm a shoestring fan in very unique situations, but I got to go like whenever I do brackets specifically about food items, I often lean into the like either the versatility or the prevalence, right? Mm. So like I'm down to eat roasted potatoes with a lot of meals, okay? I'm going roasted.
See, I went the opposite route. I was like, I make roasted potatoes at home. I love roasted potatoes. Don't get it twisted. I do.
But you know what I'm not going to? And they're terrible. So I'm going shoestring.
But you know what I'm not going to make at home? Shoestring potatoes. Shoestring moves on.
Oh, boy.
Okay. For me, as we call it the tiebreaker here, I'm going roasted. A close matchup. But okay. I'm going to go roasted. Yeah, more versatility. Variety of sauces I can go with the roasted potato. Next matchup.
Dan, say this as a yinzer. Say it as a yinzer.
I don't even know how to say it as a non-yinzer. Daffinoids.
Daffinoids, hey,
Grattan.
Daffinoids.
Daffinoids. With the Pete Negri show. Versus Mashed.
Yeah. I think this is the classic 215. Give me Mashed. Because I don't know what that first one is. And I love mashed potatoes.
I mean, I'm going Mashed too. But
like potatoes au gratin, that is one thing. Why are we fancying everything up here?
I don't know.
That's blame basically Stephen what A. it Smith. Is. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Blame Stephen A. Smith.
Okay. Yeah, blame Stephen A. Smith. But it's mashed potatoes. Let's go.
It's mashed potatoes for this week. All right, other side of the bracket. This is where it gets tricky.
This is the game you threw to when Hash Browns took a 50-point lead.
We've got a little Kentucky-Oakland going on here, boys.
Yeah.
A little bit of Kentucky-Oakland going on here. Down to the wire.
So this is tater tots versus potato skins. This one was the hardest one for me to decide between, no doubt about it.
Like I said earlier, guys, I make tater tots at home. You know what I don't make at home? Potato skins. It's potato skins. It's moving on.
I'm with you. Potato skins. That's just too strong. It's too strong. For as good as tater tots are, it's got to be the skins.
Give me skins, baby. Like the prevalence or like the versatility only applies when the taste is similar, you know? Like when I would prefer, but like potato skins are delectable. Give me skins.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Next matchup, potato wedges versus potato croquettes.
Croquettes.
Another fancy potato. I'm team wedges. I am. When it even comes to just like fries as an option, if wedges is on there, give me wedges. A little bit more seasoning usually with potato wedges. So there are some great croquettes out there, but team wedges.
Yeah, I'm American. It's wedges.
Okay. Yeah. Because we're getting a little too fancy with the name. Yeah. Potatoes are American, okay? And like, what are we doing with it? Why are we trying to fancy up something that grows out of the ground? Huh? I'm a big wedge guy over here.
There you
okay.
Go.
Like wedges with my potatoes, I like a little wedge on a kick return. Let's just wedges.
Baked potato versus waffle fries making their appearance. Boys.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those. All right, we're going to Idaho to check one out because this is tough.
Idaho!
This is tough. This is tough, man. Ah, God.
He's struggling over there.
Dude, this is the toughest one. I don't think you understand how much I love baked potatoes.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
But
I think I'm going baked. Because, like, I can't really make waffle fries, so I have to go somewhere to get them. And I feel like places that make waffle fries either do it amazing or terrible, and there's just, like, too much. You're, like, taking too much chance there. But I know baked potato is, like, solid, right? It's always there for you. It always gives you what you want. And in a matchup like this in the fourth quarter, it's going to hit its free throws, you know? So I'm going baked potato.
Well, I'm going to put the pressure on Didi. I'm going waffle fries here. There's a very few opportunities where I have waffle fries and I'm disappointed. So give them to me. So that puts the pressure cooker on you, Didi, between baked and waffle.
There's nothing better than a like loaded baked potato. So it's baked potato for me. There's nothing better.
Wow. I thought your argument was going to be you can have a baked potato. You can make a baked potato in a microwave.
You can, but it's the rare thing that I can make at home really good and I can get at a restaurant like even better.
Is that supposed to be a knock? Is that supposed to be a knock, Dan? Are you a fancy potato guy? You can't make it in the
Are you a
microwave?
Croquette motherfucker? Yeah. What?
Yeah, Why don't you go take your croquettes and get out of here?
Let me take back my chain. Let me take them back. Give me the croaks.
Dan au gratin canop. Okay, get off the podcast.
Oh, and the final matchup of the first round. Simple, plain potato chips versus the sweet potato.
Oh, it's chips. I don't fuck with sweet potatoes.
What?
I don't. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
Well, I'm sweet potato. Like, potato chips are barely even potatoes by the time they get to you. Okay, so sweet potato, please.
It's potato chips for me. And oh, like, this was tough because I'm not like, these are two of the weaker teams in the bracket, if you ask me. Now, Chris, if this said sweet potato fries, done. Sweet potato fries. Don't ask me why. I have a huge preference of sweet potato fries over sweet potatoes. But I got to give the nod to chips just because it's weak. It's a weak matchup. We go away from that game early in the tournament because, you know, Who was the team that was in the first four that like forgot to show up? Virginia. They're both Virginia. They scored like 40 points. Team Virginia there.
Amount of times that you guys said no on brunch court throughout the history of this podcast, the different potato chip options, but now you're picking chips. It just doesn't sit well with me. I just got to leave it at that. Okay. First round's over. It just doesn't sit well with me. All right. Let's move on to the second round.
Let's move on. Second round. Our first matchup of the second round, hash browns versus the potato waffle.
Hash browns. Moving on.
Yeah. Give me the browns.
That makes it a sweep. Easy sweep. It's hash browns easily. Next matchup in our Elite Eight, roasted potatoes versus mashed potatoes. What do we think? Kind of the more traditional. This is the traditional region bracket.
Could you imagine if Didi got his way and Shoestring was going up against mashed in this matchup?
Jesus wouldn't stand Christ. A chance.
Holy hell. That would just be embarrassing. I'm going roasted because I would rather have roasted more often. Mashed, for me, it's like more of like a every once in a while holiday type of thing. So I'm going roasted.
That's why I think I want mashed. It's a little bit more special. There's a lot you can do with it if they're made right. Creamy, let's go. A little gravy, a little butter, whatever you like. Tickle your fancy mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I'm with Dan. Mashed, because mashed potatoes goes with steak. Mashed potatoes goes with a nice special meal. Mashed potatoes for me.
Okay, there we go. So hash browns and mashed potatoes will face off in the final four. But before we get there, the other side of the bracket, potato skins versus potato wedges. We were all pretty strong about our thoughts on the skins. So
potato skins, boys. It's potato skins here.
Very, very similar. You know, this is like Notre Dame playing Virginia in basketball. Like, you're going to get 16 points a side. like, it's a very similar matchup. I'm going to go skins.
Skins as well. A clean sweep for potato skins. It's too tough to take down. Too many layers. The perimeter shooting. it's impeccable by the potato skins. Impeccable there. Skins advances. And in our final matchup of round two, baked potato versus potato chips.
It's baked potato. This is one of those matchups that you're like, thank you for getting to this far in the tournament. You upset a couple teams, and then you get knocked back down to size. It's like it's classic second weekend stuff right here. This is what's gonna happen to NC State next week. Like, it's gonna completely knock down the size.
Yeah, at some point you realize the fruity pebbles Old Bay mashup chips just aren't as good, and they lose. So give me baked.
Potato chips have a staple on brunch court on this program, but they don't stand a chance against baked potatoes. It's baked potatoes advancing to the final four. So that leaves us with hash browns, mashed potatoes, potato skins, and baked potato in our first matchup to advance to the championship round.
So let's do it this way. Let's pick it. All right. So here we go. It's hash brown and potato skins in the final, and potato skins wins by 30. Potato skins wins.
That's your bracket. That's your winner.
My bracket.
Okay, Chris, your two potatoes meeting in the championship round, and your winner between hash browns and mashed potato skins versus baked.
Yeah, I've got mashed and skins, but I've got the same winner at the end. Skins comes out victorious.
Okay. Hash browns versus mashed. I'm going to go with Chris. I'm going mashed here as well. Hash browns, they can be hit or miss. There's not enough consistency with hash browns, even out to eat. So give me mashed. Skins versus baked. Baked never stood a chance when they were on this side of the bracket. They knew it. Everybody knew it. Tato skins, phenomenal guard play. Takes them to the championship game. And they bring home the winner as best potato. Potato skins sweeping the bracket for all three of us. Doesn't matter how they got there. They got there. They took it home. All have the same champion. Congratulations, potato skins.
What a team. What a team. You know, like depth throughout, layers and layers of depth. And then, you know, they got that, like, that three-point shooter that can't be stopped. You put the sour cream on top. Unbelievable team.
Yeah, it was looking shaky against potato wedges, but when Chives came in, off the bench.
Chives, for three!
It was a wrap.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh my God. Shouts to potato skins. But yeah, I told you guys before this started, there was one that was like running through the bracket. It was potato skins, guys. It was all the way.
You were right. You were right. Too strong. Too God. Strong.
Why are potato skins so good? Why are they so good? Just potato, cheese, bacon.
And you know what? They've got that TGI Fridays NIL sponsorship. It's just the whole roster. It's so good.
Didi's like, why are they so good? And then you could see him realize it in his face as he's listing the ingredients. He's like, oh, I get it.
Oh, that's why.
That's it.
Makes sense.
God. All right. So let's go to the next topic. Shohei Ohtani and his translator are in some trouble. So the Dodgers fired Ohtani's translator because apparently he took $4.5 million from Ohtani's account in transfers to a booking organization that is being investigated in California. And this is a mess. And it's Shohei Ohtani. So, boys, one, do you think that, all right, I guess I'll say it. There's more to this story. And I'm like, I'm wondering if Shohei Ohtani is the one gambling. I don't know.
You can't rule that out, right? And if anybody hasn't been completely familiar with the story, read it on ESPN.com because they've got some additional sauce and juice in there because of interviews and stories that they were doing and about the post. And it just takes this left turn. Very odd because in some of like the wire transfers had to come from Ohtani's account, but like Ohtani's name was there and they were like, oh, that's because they wanted the recognition for this bookie or something like that. And they're like, no, Shohei's never placed a bet in his life. He knows the rules in this. They said his translators never bet on baseball. And this is like his best friend. And they go into these weird details. They're like, he's paid this ridiculous salary, by the way, this six-figure salary to be his translator, to be his friend. They mention like he walks around with his water bottle. Like that's a really hard thing to do. And he's just this like degenerate gambler. And he's covering his gambling debts, but how do we know for sure that Shohei has never been a part of any of this gambling? And like, I don't know. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. And he's swearing on his life that it's never been Shohei and there's never been any baseball bets, but you can't say definitely not, right?
No,
you can't. When I started to see information about this come out, I was like, this feels like that guy who bet on the streaker and then was the streaker at the Super Bowl. It's like too obvious that it's happening. Like, you know, not good. Not good. And what is like the if he's found to have like a clear connection to this, like baseball is pretty serious about this, right?
Yeah. It's in every locker room. It's like, that's one thing right. You can't do in baseball. Yeah. Steroids, we'll get over it. Gambling, never.
Yeah.
And like, and that's the other thing, right? California, which is now one of like, I guess the few states that there's no legal sports betting, right, Didi?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you wonder why Ohtani was like considering going to the Braves in the Blue Jays. Now it makes you think, where was sports gambling legal? And his friend / interpreter was like, we should go check this team out. We should go hear what they have to say. You know, it makes you kind of go, interesting. Interesting. Why don't you should have got out of California there, big guy.
You know, I really think that this is just like Ohtani's homie. And his homie's a degenerate gambler. Ohtani's got like an endless bank account. And he just helped his friend out. And that's just what it was.
Yeah.
I have that feeling that that's what this was. But $4.5 million.
Man.
Yeah, like, I don't know. The whole gambling on sports thing, just like, I've never done it. I've never been able to wrap my head around it. I don't know. You guys know, like when we go to Vegas, have we ever gambled at Vegas together? Like, I don't know. So I don't get the allure. I mean, I get it's like a rush and like you could win a ton of money, but it's like at the end of the day, you're going to end up probably breaking even anyway. But then like you're throwing this much money at it. Like somebody's got a problem. I don't know.
Well, Chris, you had a question with this one.
What was my question? Oh yeah. My question was, what was my question? Yeah. So part of me thinks that the translator is just the fall guy for Ohtani. So if you guys were in this position, and you had hundreds of millions of dollars and you got busted for gambling and your career depended on it, who would be your fall guy?
This is easy.
Somebody this willing. Easy. Okay. If it's so easy, Dan.
Go ahead. Go.
This is easy.
Sorry, Shannon.
Yeah.
See you in prison.
It's Didi. It's you, Didi. because through your connections, I'm sure you've done some commercial for some lawyer that can help get you out of this, right? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or something, or like it's, you know, use code Didi for a get out of jail free card. I'm sure you're covered, and I'd be confident that you can act your way out of this through your connections, and you'd be just fine. You'd be just fine. So it'd have to be you. It had to be you. That's first thing that came to my mind.
I would blame my fall guy would definitely be Major. I would put it on my son. I would put it on my son. I would just say that, you know, listen, he took the iPad. He's a whiz on that thing. He started gambling. He was winning. He was up. He was down. Next thing I know, he's the one that did it. I would put it on him, and he'll be all right. He'll get in there for a few years. He'll be okay. He'll figure his way.
He'll come out a stronger.
He'll come out strong. But yeah, he'll come out strong. He'll be all right. Major will be all right, but that's who my fall guy would be. Wow. Unfortunately, my son. This is how it's got to go.
Well, it's great that you guys have like explanations for your fall guy. A name immediately came to mind, and truth be told, I don't know why. But good friend of the program, Slaw would be my fall guy. I feel like he's a good enough friend that he would do it, and like,
okay.
But like he shouldn't, you know, but he would. And like, I feel like there's a lot of situations where we're like, oh, he shouldn't do that, but he's gonna, you know? So Slaw's my guy.
And I feel like Slaw would be really good, like lying on the stand or like in interrogation. Like I feel like he would really be good at it. Cause like, that's where picking me as your fall guy goes wrong. It's cause like, I'm not a really good liar. So, like, I'll try my best, Dan, but I don't know.
Okay.
if I could end up coming through. Slaw would be really good. Slaw would actually be really good to it. He'd like get into character. He'd be in it.
For anybody that doesn't know Slaw well enough, that's a listener on this program, if you're familiar with the program Seinfeld and you know what type of liar George Costanza is, just that element of the person, okay? Just that element that he's like a professional liar. That's your guy. That's Slaw. That's your guy.
Well, you guys are talking it out and making me understand why he came to mind. I was just like, Slaw. And I didn't know why. But now I guess I know why.
I mean, Slaw used to sell mall gift cards to people, and he was really good at it. Like, gift cards to the mall. Not like a store, just the mall. And was really good at it. You can't, like, actually, you know what? Slaw's my fall guy, too, now.
We've all convinced ourselves that Slaw's the best choice here.
Yeah, he's in healthcare now, right? And he like convinces people to like pay money and not be mad at the healthcare system, which is also very hard to do.
Yeah. Like Slaw's a customer service like specialist. Like anybody who can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, yeah, Slaw's the guy. Shouts to Slaw.
He'd be all right. He'd be all right for a couple of years. He'd be fine. Yeah. Slaw, you're the guy. Congrats.
You're the guy. Congrats. I feel like he'd get his sentence reduced too. Like he'd figure it out.
Right.
He's good. Slaw's good. That's definitely the fall guy. Oh man. Hey boys. One question before we get into music. So a lot of talk. NCAA tournament extending to possibly 81 teams. Which, if you're talking about it, I imagine they're gonna do it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how dumb is this?
12. Don't eat it. Too many. Too many. Did you see how bad some of the games were this weekend? Do we need more teams in the bracket? You think it's going to be better? Come on.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I know, like, you want to say why, but everybody knows why. Yes. More money. But, like, the team that Dan and I root for got jobbed. Like, Pitt should have been in the tournament, and we weren't. And that doesn't cloud my judgment here in thinking that, like, what does this accomplish other than make those people more money? And, like, I'm just sick of the amount of money that's being made in college athletics. But then, like, Dan, Didi, Chris, after the season's over, you guys got to donate a bunch of money so that your players don't. Like, I can't stand the money in college sports anymore. So, no thank you.
Dude, I am with you because it's just like four more money that they're not going to give to the people who made the product. It's insane to me. It's like no one's going to get that TV money other than it just bothers me because you're just putting teams in. And also you're just putting teams in because even moving it to 68, I still don't like it. I don't know if anybody really watch the play-ins unless your team is in it. Like I don't care about the play-in games at all.
Right.
So spanning it to 81 teams is just insane. That's insane.
Like, long live the NIT.
Because, like, yeah, it's ridiculous. 81 teams is just dumb, but they're going to do it. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. Yep. And it's going to be awful. Can't wait. Well, let's get into something less awful. Music. Well, unless you listened to Spicy Margarita last week. Let's get into something less awful. Music. Chris, what you got?
All right, boys. My first one is from one of my favorite ska bands. Their name is Millington. Can you guys hear me? You picking me up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, sweet. Millington, one of my favorite ska bands. They put out a EP called Brass Emo. A few weeks ago, I think Thanks for the Memories on the playlist because they covered that song. Well, it turns out they were working on an entire cover album. So I'm going to put the version of Ocean Avenue that they covered, which was really cool. And if you think about, like, for Yellow Card, anything that the violinist did, the horn section is doing in this song, and it sounds amazing. So that's my first pick.
Wow. Nice. Like that.
Dan, what you got?
Saw somebody in the Phoenix airport with a Streetlight Manifesto shirt on, Chris. So shouts to Scott. Yeah, loved that. Olivia Rodrigo back on the playlist because the extended version of Guts called Guts Spilled, which I love, by the way, came out with a couple new tracks, and So American. I'm honestly surprised this wasn't on the original track list. Like, it's really good. It's a great pop rock song. She's really into this kind of rock style music because she said when she performs it live, she gets like, because it gets like a thrill doing the rock songs live, because it's like, that's what rock music does. And I think this song would rock live, be really good. So welcome back, Olivia Rodrigo. So American.
Nice.
Like the potato skin. So American.
So American. Big Sean put out a first single off of whatever this next time of his life will be, and it is called Precision. And if you like Big Sean, you're just gonna like the song. Just filled with punchlines, filled with just him. It's just awesome. And he's just like full rapping. Like, this isn't like a big hit or anything like that, and it's not even trying to. He's just sounds awesome on this. So Precision, Big Sean, check it out.
My second one is random. Just out of nowhere, I was listening to Big D in the Kids Table this week, which I haven't listened to that band in a long time. Fun fact, Dan and I played a show with them in like St. Mary's, Pennsylvania, I think it was. Very strange location, like a lot of Amish out there. And one of the best shows we ever played. That show was so much fun. Anyway, their song Shining On is one of my favorites, and it makes me feel like spring. Okay, it's got a very happy vibe about it. So that's song number two this week.
I like it. Listen to that on the way to the baseball game. You're gonna be ready to go. Next for me is Remy Wolf. She back. She released a song called Cinderella, and that unmistakable, recognizable vocal from Remy. It shines in this track. It's kind of upbeat and jazzy. Let's go. I'm ready for more Remy Wolf this year. The year of Remy, and the track is Cinderella.
Nice. I was just going through the new music playlist while I was driving this week, and some band called Day Six was on the playlist, was on that playlist. Song's not good. That's not what I'm talking about here. And it made me think of Day 26, the winners of Making the Band season two or three. Can't remember. Anyways, I'm going to put It On Her by Day 26 featuring Diddy on the playlist this week. So shouts to whoever Day 6 is. I don't like your song, but you made me think of Day 26 from 2009. I'm going to put It On Her.
Was that the group where they had them rapping to Biggie outside on the like sidewalk until they could get the words right? And like Diddy was mad.
Oh, hold on. No, that was Da Band. And we're going to put them on the playlist too.
There you go.
Did they have like a song at a like on a baseball field? I remember.
Yes,
the,
they did. 100%. 100%.
Like Batter Up or something.
Yeah, don't you worry. The band is going on the playlist too. We're just throwing on. Might as well put Danity Kane on the playlist too. Throw them all on. And yeah, everybody who had Diddy featured on a song, we're just throwing them on. Let's go. Let's call it a day.
I love it. It's me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. All right. My last one is the song is called Eat My Apple, and it's from a band called Crooked Teeth. Sorry, guys. I know I didn't really give you much of a
not ready there.
Disclaimer, Chris. Jeez. Yeah.
Listen, it's not what you think. It's just a very catchy pop punk song. I just like found this band a couple of weeks ago, and I had them on a playlist, and then they just put the song out. It's another really good one. Very catchy. They're a pop punk trio there's a spot in my heart for pop punk trios. There's not many of them anymore. So give them a little bit of love. Crooked Teeth, Eat My Apple.
Apple. Very, very important. Very important.
Very important.
Last one for me. Now, I was hesitant to do this, but I have to do this. Girl in Red is going on the playlist again. And I know there's a little bit of a streak going on, but of the singles she's released, this might be the best one yet. And it's not just Girl in Red. Ladies and gentlemen, Girl in Red featuring Sabrina Carpenter. And the song is called You Need Me Now. It's a super catchy pop track where if you've listened to any Girl in Red and you know Sabrina Carpenter, they have very, I'd call different, two different vocal styles and sounds, but they complement each other so well on this track. And I don't know what Girl in Red is up to, but this album is building up a lot of momentum for me. And I think it's going to be huge for her. And I'm very excited. So again, the track is called You Need Me Now from Girl in Red and Sabrina Carpenter. She's back. Back on the playlist again. Not sorry.
Not sorry. All right. Throwing on the playlist, Future and Metro Boomin put out a new album, put out an album together, which is like part one of two albums they're putting out. It's awesome. Like Metro Boomin, you'll like Future. You're going to love it. But the song Type Shit has a verse from Kendrick Lamar at the end of it, and it's awesome. And when Kendrick is rapping and not doing slam poetry, it's the best. So hopefully this means more good things from Kendrick coming soon, and he's done doing whatever weird things that he's been doing. So, you know, I know people love Kendrick, and if anyone listens to this, they'll probably tell me I'm crazy, whatever, whatever. I don't care. This is the Kendrick that I enjoy, and he's calling out Drake, he's calling out J. Cole, he's calling out so many people, and it's awesome, and just the song's awesome. So check it out. Type Shit, Future, Metro Boomin, and Kendrick Lamar.
Nice.
And that is what we are listening to this week. Make sure you check out the playlist on Spotify and tell Alexa, tell Siri to play the sounds of brunch. That's what we got. Boys, this was a fun one. Any final thoughts on the brunch breakdown?
I'm going to think for a long time about how you picked shoestring potatoes over roasted potatoes.
The upset of the bracket that no one saw coming that almost came to fruition. Yeah. But guard play wins out every single time, and you just can't beat potato skins. Give me potato skins and give me baseball. What a lovely time of year it is.
My God, it's the brunch breakdown. We're out.